All right, so it's 12 o'clock, and I'm Ken McCarthy, and our special guests today are Howie Jacobson and Cindy Kapler. And Howie and Cindy have something in common. They're both system grads, and they both started as relative internet marketing newbies. Is that pretty accurate, guys?
Yep. Yep, that's correct.
Okay. And just to give you some background, when we originally started offering the system training, my original intention was to create the class for people who were already in business and just wanted to do what they were doing a whole lot better. And we did that. We created a really good course, and people loved it. And as you can tell, those of you, I guess everybody on this call has been to a system training, we get a lot of very experienced and very professional business people and marketers showing up at our trainings, and that's great. But we also get a lot of interest from beginners. Now, believe it or not, I originally banned beginners from the original system trainings. They snuck in anyway, but my attitude was, hey, I can't teach advanced people and beginners in the same setting. It's too hard. But what happened was some beginners took the course anyhow, and actually through a lot of self-study and hard effort on their part, and Howie and Cindy would be great examples of this, went back and learned all the basics that they didn't know on their own, the hard way, and then were able to take advantage of all the stuff they learned at the system training. So I thought, all right, what are we going to do with all these people that are who are interested in this material but don't have the foundation necessarily to completely benefit from it? So that's why we're starting to experiment with this beginner circle, and I'm going to call this program Smart Beginners, in contrast with Internet Marketing for Dummies or Internet Marketing for Idiots. I prefer to think of it as Internet Marketing for Smart Beginners. You really only need three things to succeed in this Internet marketing business. One is initiative, and obviously everybody on this call has plenty of initiative, but that I just need to put that out there because nothing's going to happen without personal initiative. So step one, personal initiative. The second thing you need is a good, solid grasp of the sales process and marketing, specifically direct marketing. That is really absolutely fundamental and critical to our business. And Howie has created an excellent course on the basics of sales and direct marketing. That's the second thing you need. The third thing you need to succeed in internet marketing is just a complete understanding and grasp of all the basic internet marketing tools. And it's all simple stuff, but it's not simple, of course, until you learn it. We're talking about getting domain names and getting websites up and autoresponders and affiliate programs and all these, you know, million and one details that can initially seem overwhelming to beginners getting started. But once you learn it, it really is a lot like riding a bicycle. But it's good to learn those things fast. Some people spend weeks and months and years learning them, and it's really better to learn them in a week because that's about all it should take. So that's going to be our focus on these calls, and we're going to be somewhat selective in the topics that we'll address. We're only really going to, since this is a beginner's call and a getting started call, we're only going to address those kinds of questions. So if you have a more complicated business question or marketing question or, you know, elaborate technology question, we'll probably ask you to find another venue to ask it because we want to stick to the basics. Cindy and Howie, you still there?
Yep.
Great. Just want to make sure. One sort of philosophical thing that I – two philosophical things that I want to say just to get this rolling before we – get started with the questions is, number one, the tendency of all human beings, me included, to overcomplicate things. And I don't know why it is, but it seems, I think we have a lot of neurons in our brains and lots of different connections, and we like to keep those neurons busy. So rather than do the simple thing, we often try to conceive of the most elaborate possible thing, and that's a mistake. It's not just a mistake in internet marketing, it's a mistake in all business, and it's really a mistake in every human activity, and yet it is such an ingrained part of all of our natures, we just have to address it and deal with it. So some people may be asking us questions that are really complicated and are kind of like too far out. In other words, they haven't done the ABCs, but now they want to do, they want to write a Shakespearean sonnet. You know, well, we're going to direct people that are asking questions like that back to the ABCs, not because we don't want to answer the questions, but because this, the purpose of these calls is to get beginners going, not to spin wool and get into all kinds of potentially elaborate scenarios. Does that sound fair, Cindy and Howie, as a good approach?
I think so.
Howie, what do you think? As someone that's gone through the process of starting from scratch with this and then actually developing a pretty significant level of mastery, am I speaking sensibly when I talk about the tendency to overcomplicate things?
Yeah, you know, I came to you basically because I felt like I was at the mercy of all these local web designers who were going to charge me $5,000, and I had no idea what for.
Right.
You know, I talked my way into the system because, you know, it was offered for $2,000, and I thought, geez, I can, you know, for 40% of the price, I can learn how to do it myself and be able to evaluate. And, you know, it was just a feeling like I'm totally clueless. But what ended up helping me the most was just understanding in its essence that this is a really simple business, and that once I began learning the tools, I didn't have to do them anymore. But at least I knew what it was worth, what I would willingly pay someone else, and how to evaluate what they were doing. So I think it's really important, even if you want to outsource everything, which I think is smart, that you at least learn how to pick up the hammer and hit a nail in.
That's a really good point, and I actually forgot that motivation, because before I started putting the system trainings on, I'd get sort of random phone calls from friends and friends of friends about, oh, how do I do this, and this, you know, what about that, and how do I get a website up, and this guy wants to charge me $10,000, and I would see all these crazy things going on out there, like people charging $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 to develop pretty simple websites, and I thought, God, you know, what a... And more, by the way. I've seen six-figure debacles. And I thought, what a terrible waste. You know, for in a weekend, somebody could really learn the nuts and bolts and guts of this business and save all that money and use it to build their business instead of giving it to unreliable vendors or vendors who are charging inflated prices. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, not only that, it's, you know, the websites that are most effective – are the ones that, if we got someone to build it for us, would be the cheapest to build.
Right.
$300 max, but the people who make their living, you know, preying on business people who don't know how to do it themselves, have to justify their high prices with websites that are actually really bad from a direct marketing point of view.
Well, exactly. How do you justify a $5,000 web design fee if all you're building is a sales page and an order form? It's real hard. And you know, that brings up a beginner's topic, and Cindy, feel free to chime in on this. I know for people that don't have direct experience with this business, it seems almost unbelievable that a simple sales letter is going to produce better than an elaborate site with all kinds of beautiful graphics. But, Cindy, you've seen a lot of deals and websites and probably talked with lots of people. I mean, can you think of a single case where a sales letter doesn't beat the elaborate graphic site, hands down?
Nope, not offhand.
I can't either, you know, and I've looked at a lot of them. Good. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a psychological barrier for many beginners. They think, well, gosh, you know, I just went to the Ajax Gizmo site, and, gee, they have, you know, 10,000 pictures and 18 different links, and they're a Fortune 500 company, and they must know what they're doing. Why aren't they doing this stuff that you're teaching? Well, they have a different business model, and a lot of those businesses just don't track the results of what they're doing, and so they're as foolish as the person that never takes a system training.
I think, Ken, that goes to your point of, you know, us looking at how to market. We need to keep it simple, but whatever we put out there needs to be as simple as it can be for our customers as well.
Oh, great point. Great point. And it is a lifelong challenge. I don't want anybody to think that, you know, one day you figure out this simplicity thing and suddenly you've got it and you never run into that problem again. I mean, it is a daily, hourly, maybe even minute by minute challenge to keep things simple, not only for your own designs, but as Cindy said, it's such a good point, to make sure it's simple for your customers. This is a million-dollar secret, and I think both Howie and Cindy were at the San Francisco system training, right? Is that right?
I wasn't able to.
Oh, you missed it? Okay. Well, one of the things that was so striking about that, we had a lot of things going on, but Gary Halbert, who's a legend in direct mail, spoke at that seminar. And he just got up there and basically read some of his sales letters, as well as, you know, explaining why he wrote things the way he wrote them. But one of the things that struck me was how absolutely precise, clear, and simple he was when it came to the call to action. He'd say things like, call this telephone number, you know, 1-800-555-1212, and a woman named Susie will answer the phone. And Susie will say the following to you. Hi, thank you for calling. And he just went through it in almost, you know, almost insane detail. But when you think about it, isn't that the most important place to be simple and clear in the call to action? You want to make it as absolute crystal clear what you want people to do at that point. You don't want to leave anything up to chance. So the more clarity and detail, the better. So I want to just go back very briefly to this simplicity thing, and then I'll get off it, and we'll get onto it, some other point, and then the questions and answers. In the world of martial arts, and I like to apply the martial arts model to marketing. There are, and I've studied this martial arts a long time. It's been always an interest of mine since I was a teenager, and I've spent a lot of time and money visiting and traveling and meeting really good martial artists. And what I've found is the real great martial artists of the world prefer simplicity over complexity. I mean, basically, their whole strategy is, A, get out of the way, don't get hit. Two, position yourself in such a way that it's hard for your opponent to block or attack you. And three, use something really simple to hit the person as hard as you possibly can, and then follow up. Now, if you go to the mall karate school, well, you'll be taught how to do 18, you know, somersault, you know, kicks and all kinds of crazy stuff that, number one, nobody can ever remember to use in a fight, and number two, is just too complicated to use in real life. So I think this applies to marketing as well. Yeah, definitely learn all the techniques, learn all the methods, learn everything, but realize that what you're trying to do is not display, you know, put up a fireworks display of technique. What you're trying to do is get a result, and sometimes the simplest, most direct methods are the methods that get you the most results. Okay, now let's talk about one other issue, very simple, and then we'll get on to our questions. And it's just something I think that will clarify things and make it really easy as you make your progress in this business. This business is all about one thing. It's about putting offers in front of people. Okay, that's what this business is. That's what marketing is. That's what sales is. You've got a prospect, and you've got an offer, and you develop systems to bring your prospects in front of your offer. And that's it. That's all we're doing. In the olden days, people would have a cart and they would and a horse, and they'd take their cart and horse around the village, and they'd go door to door and they'd yell out, "I've got turnips, I've got carrots, whatever." Well, that's putting an offer in front of a person. Not a terribly efficient method, but it worked good enough. Now, luckily, in our modern age, because of media like television, like the internet, like newspapers, like mail, instead of personally going to each house and making our offers orally and getting tired, we can mechanize and automate that whole process and make 1,000 offers a day, 10,000 offers a day, you know, 1,000,000 offers a day, depending on the medium we're using in our offer. And that is why we're able to generate a lot of wealth through direct marketing in general and internet marketing in particular. We're taking a tried and true process, which is putting offers in front of people, and we're basically exploding it. You know, instead of doing one at a time, we can do thousands at a time. So that's really what the business is about. There's nothing more to it. And after that, the only other thing involved is math, really. Just how many people you present, what percentage of them buy, what your profit margin is, and then your trip to the bank. So that's what we're doing. We're talking about sales, we're talking about direct marketing, and on these calls in particular, we're going to focus on the basic tools that you need to A, get prospects to look at your offer, and B, deliver a sales message to your prospects. So let's keep it really simple. And I do reserve the right if a question is a little more advanced or elaborate than I think is helpful to simple it down or ask you to ask it in another venue. So that's it. So I'm going to open up the phone to questions and just say your name and where you're from. But before I do that, hey, Howie or Cindy, do you have anything that you'd like to say by way of introduction about your experience of going from an absolute novice to somebody who's, you know, doing projects and a capable, accomplished internet marketer? Like, how long did it take you, and what were some of your biggest challenges? What were some of the biggest helps you had? What do you wish you did differently in your early self-study months?
Well, I could jump in there.
Yeah, please.
I would say, well, let's see. It took me a while to really figure out what I was doing, and if I had it all to do over again, I would have wished the system seminar would have come along a little sooner, Ken. That would have been helpful.
Well, I'm doing my best, you know.
But I would have focused, I think, on a couple of people or maybe only one person who I had found on the Internet who was doing really, really well, and I would have tried to model basically what they were doing and to learn as much as I could from their example. Because I think when you start, and I know when I started, I was all over the place. I mean, everybody's got a great product that's supposed to help you learn how to market on the Internet, and if you read this, you'll learn this, and if you read that, you'll learn that. And you just have so much information, it's basically information overload. And then I got to the point where I didn't even know where to start.
Gotcha.
So I would have focused much more on one person and tried to find that, like, a mentor type person.
Great. That brings us back to our simplicity theme. One person, one example, one model. Master that, and then go on to the next thing. You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I was talking with a guy named Jack Miller, who is very famous, or not famous, but he's very sort of a seminal figure in the real estate education world, and people like Robert Allen and a bunch of other names that escape me right now all trained with him years and years ago, and he's still training and teaching people in his 70s, and he's a great guy. And that was actually the advice that he gave at a recent seminar. He said, don't try to learn everything. Pick one thing, master it, and then branch out from there. So that's great advice. How about you, Howie? What would you do differently? What did you do that did work in making the transition from an absolute novice to an experienced, capable, savvy internet guy?
Sure. Well, I remember the 4 months after my first system training, which was System 2 in Cincinnati, I did nothing. I came home with these giant notebooks that you had provided,
mm-hmm.
that I had doubled in the amount of notes I had taken,
mm-hmm.
and I came back and I said, well, what'd you learn? I said, I learned everything. And I was unable to do a single thing for 4 months because I didn't know where to start. You sent us some emails,
mm-hmm.
very early on saying, here's the first thing I would do, and I found that very helpful. I printed it out, and I still did not take any action.
Mm-hmm.
It took me, and you know, I was working on the Leads into Gold product,
mm-hmm.
which eventually, you know, it's like, you know, you go into a class where someone's teaching you how to use a hammer, a buzzsaw, a coping saw, a planer, all this stuff. You get home and you got nothing to do, but then, you know, your house burns down and you got to build a new house. So you pick up the tools even though you don't know what you're doing.
Mm.
That's what ended up happening for me. I had a project that had to get done, and I had all these tools that I sort of knew a little bit how to use from watching other people tell me how to use them, and I just picked them up, and I made a mess of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that's how I learned.
Mm-hmm.
By actually, and so what I'd like to say to beginners is you are inevitably going to put up lousy sites,
mm-hmm.
with lousy ads,
mm-hmm.
lousy sales letters. You're going to get returns from people who are going to think you're the biggest, you know, criminal in the world. You're going to get hate mail from people you've never heard of. And I don't think there's another way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what ended up really speeding up my process. And here's what I would do now is I ended up hooking up with Perry Marshall and doing a lot of work with him, which I had to achieve a certain level of mastery before that could happen. But once it did, you know, the mastery proceeded exponentially just from working with someone and getting daily feedback. So if there's someone you know who's doing things, they don't have to be one of the, you know, the instructors, but someone who's doing decent stuff online, I would, if I had to go do it all over again, I would go and call them up and write them letters and ask them if I could work for free on their least important projects.
Wow.
And get feedback from them.
Yeah, I have to say that the best, one of the best educations I ever got was the time that I worked for free. that's some good advice.
I did a little of that for you, as you recall. I loved the emails you had sent out, and I, you know, helped edit some of them to turn into a product, and that's how I learned how to make an ebook. Literally,
oh, really?
The physical process of taking a Word document, editing it, turning it into a PDF. You know, it's all simple as long as you've done it once.
Right.
But if you haven't ever done it, everything's a mystery. Everything's equally hard.
Well, I think that idea of having a specific project in mind, again, simple project, hopefully, and saying, okay, I want to do this. I want to put up a site about, you know, this subject, or I want to put together an ebook about this subject. Having a concrete project in mind gets you moving and gets you to pick up the tools and start using them and start building things and making things, and thereby learning how all this stuff works. I think the idea of volunteering your services to somebody, you know, you admire, whose model you think is worth replicating, is a great idea. Because believe me, everybody needs help. This is a really odd business, because when you're starting, the hardest thing when you're getting going is to figure out, well, what project am I going to do? All right. Well, once you start doing a few of these and stringing them together and seeing how they work, and then start learning about how to generate ideas, and then your big problem becomes, how am I going to get the 1,987 ideas I've got on my desk into action? So for everybody that's looking for an idea, I guarantee there are people out there with, you know, 1,000 ideas they can't even execute on because they just don't have the time. In fact, one of the things, I would really appreciate if people would remind me about this, because I tend to forget certain things unless I'm doing them, is I want to create a matchmaking service, free matchmaking service of system grads. In other words, people that are beginners that are looking for ways to get in, maybe people that have projects that need a little bit of extra help, you know, from a beginner. You know, like what you did with Perry, Howie, you know, maybe formalize that, maybe make it easier for people to find people to do projects with together. So, hey, these are great ideas. I really appreciate it. All right, so now let's go to our questions. And thanks for those great comments, Cindy and Howie.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please do.
We got a number of questions emailed to us.
Yeah.
Are we going to go through those? Or?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. Let's do the people that are on the line first.
Okay.
And then if we have time, we'll do the questions that were submitted after. And I think
okay.
We will have time. Okay, here we go. So just say your name, where you're from, and what your question is.
Ken.
Shoot.
Ken.
Yeah, hi.
This is John Egan calling from Palo Alto, California.
Great.
Two quick questions. Number one, is there a mute button on this call? And secondly, how often is this group going to meet?
Okay, you can press *6
okay.
to mute out if you don't want your activities to be heard. Or you can also just hit another thing you can do is just hit the mute button on your phone. How often will this group meet? Well, I would like to have a beginner's meeting once a month for all System Club members. We might do some other things too, though, but right now that's my plan. So that's one question.
Thank you.
Those are your only questions?
Well, for right now, I thought I'd let somebody else ask something.
Okay, great. Thanks, John.
Sure.
Anyone else with a beginner's getting started, how does it work, what's a InfoBot type questions?
This
yes.
is Steve Hamby.
Hey, Steve.
Atlanta. That document that Howie mentioned a while ago that he received, I think, from you a while back that helped him get through that overload period, which was, this is the first thing to do now. Is that something that would be helpful for us, or is that obsolete now, or is that something that's going to be coming down the pike anyway, or
well,
what?
Let me reveal something about myself. I generate tons and tons of stuff, and once I generate it, unless I'm reminded of it, I forget about it. So, Howie, do you have that letter? I kind of remember writing it, but I don't even have a copy of it myself.
Yeah, I remember it. I would say it's mostly obsolete.
Okay.
Actually, this was in the dark ages before Google AdWords.
Right, that's true. And it was also before Ask.
It was before Ask. It was before Audio Generator. It was before a lot of the tools that are just the standards of ease. But I don't know. What would you say today is the go home from a seminar list of the first five things you should do?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that's a really almost a perfect getting started question. And let's the three of us talk about the things mechanically that you need to know how to do, or as Howie pointed out earlier, you need to know how to contract. So in no particular order, one thing you need to know how to do is get your words up on a web page. Right? That's sort of a basic. Another thing you need to know how to do is register a domain name. Another thing you need to know how to do, I would say, is set up an opt-in box or mechanism, however you do it, on your sales page so that people that don't buy can at least opt in. I think another thing you need to know how to do is set up an autoresponder sequence so that you can automatically follow up with the people that opt in. Another thing you need to know how to do is take orders, take the money, which involves knowing how to get an order form created and also involves setting up a relationship with a credit card merchant bank. Those I would think – oh, I guess and then the only other thing is basic thing, very basic thing, would be getting – qualified prospects to come to your page. And by qualified prospect, I mean somebody who has a good chance of being interested in and maybe even buying your product. And that's why Google has changed the landscape of all this so dramatically, because in the ancient, old, bad days, we used to have to be incredibly creative to figure out how to get qualified people to our sites. Now we just go to Google and buy them. For actually really ridiculously low amounts of money. Did I leave anything out, guys? Howie,
I have a different slant on that question.
Okay.
Just for me, almost everything can be outsourced for $20 to $40 an hour. The part that I can never outsource is the market research.
Okay.
So I would say the tools that I absolutely, when I work with someone, I have a couple of people that I'm kind of helping to get started, friends, family, the things I show them first are Google and the Overture Term Suggestion Tool and the Bid Price Tool. Because very often they'll come up with some idea, and I can show them in 15 seconds that it's got potential or it doesn't.
And okay, so what you're saying is one of the things to do first is learn how to use the various tools, and let's go over those in a little more detail, to investigate and evaluate potential online marketing projects.
Right. So I'll give you an example of a project that is now dying.
Okay.
I have a background in health education, so I wanted to write a bunch of e-books, provide resources on the kinds of conditions and diseases that Western medicine doesn't do so well with.
Okay.
And provide alternative, holistic approaches. So I threw up a bunch of ask campaigns on Google with various keywords. So first thing I had to do was, so one of them is dying, is eczema. Apparently people don't really care to buy an e-book to help them with eczema.
Really? That's interesting.
Compared to some of the other, I would have thought it would be a big one.
Did you find a niche first?
What's that?
I'm sorry to interject. This is Rex Hudson, and I'm from Clover. Did you find the niche? your market with, and they had, did they have a need for that product?
Well, that was the question. I haven't built the product. So I came up with a bunch of diseases that I was going to sell information about.
So let's say you took eczema and you bought some the eczema keyword on Google.
Right.
Okay.
So first thing I had to go do was look on the Overture inventory tool and see how many people were searching. Because if it was only, you know, 800 a month, then, you know, unless I can have eczema boot camps, there's no way to make any money from that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. So where did you find out from using that tool?
I found out that there was a lot of traffic, 50,000, 60,000 a month. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, but that's a lot. That's a good amount of searching.
Yep.
Okay, so that gave you a green light.
So the next thing I did was I typed in eczema in the bid tool and saw that I think it was like 30, 40, 50 cents. You know, I did a bunch of these. I don't have the numbers at the top of my head, but it was another green light that this was somebody was making money on this.
And why was the fact that it was 30 or 40 cents a click a green light that people were making money? Just so let's explain every little piece of this, just because.
Well, because on Overture, the minimum now is 10 cents, and some people are at 5 cents because they were grandfathered.
Okay.
And if there are a whole bunch, you know, 5 to 10 to 15 listings all in the 20, 30 cent range, that means they're making at least that much back.
Okay. So when you see bids, active bidding for a keyword on Overture, you can guess, you don't know for sure, but you can make an educated guess that somebody's figured out how to make money from that traffic.
Right. If I assume a conversion of 1%,
mm-hmm.
and if I'm selling a $30 product, I can kind of break even with 30 cents. So it has to work with my math. There were a bunch of diseases where the bidding was at $4 or $5. I can't compete because that's all drug companies in Canada who ship illegally across the border.
Right.
I can't compete with them, nor can I JV with them because my product says you don't need to buy their medicine.
Okay.
So that was another, you know, so the idea of looking, then going to typing in the keyword eczema in Google and looking at 30, 50, 100 sites, the more you look at this, you know, the more I looked at, the smarter I got.
This is a really critical thing that you just said, and it seems really simple, and my experience over and over again is people don't realize how profound this is. One of the key ways to research and evaluate and then finally develop an online business is to do just what Howie said. And it seems so simple it's going to go over many people's heads. That's why I want to sort of put a red light on and say, let's look at this. You search the key terms that prospects would be using, and then you get a notebook. And I'll ask you guys how you do it. But one way to do it is get a notebook or a digital, you know, notepad and just look at the sites. Who's out there? What are they offering? What are they selling? We had a great talk, I think both of you guys were at it, from Kirk Christensen, one of our favorite faculty members a while back, and he talked about how he built a diamond business selling raw diamonds, uncut diamonds on the Internet. And he showed us how he built that business entirely from the method that I just said. He just went through every site that was out there. Every time he saw a good headline, he wrote it down. Every time he saw a good guarantee, he wrote it down. And by the time he was done, he had all the elements of an absolute winner site. And he put the site up, generated the traffic, and it was a very lucrative business for him, simply by using the search engines and methodically looking at what's out there. So, Howie, great point. I'm glad you brought that up. So what's the next thing that you did?
The next thing was I ran an ask campaign using the Frank Kern model. You know, hi, I'm writing an e-book. I need your help.
Okay.
So
you would drive people, and again, let's make this really precise. So you'd buy traffic for, let's say, eczema.
Right.
And you'd buy it from Google AdWords. And you would send people to a page that said, hey, I'm writing a book and on eczema, and if you'd be willing to help me by telling me what your most important question about this is, I'll send you a free copy when it's done.
Right.
So you drive them there, and then you give them an incentive to get involved in investing the time and asking a question. Excellent. Okay. So then what did you find out from that?
Well, I was running three at the same time, three diseases simultaneously.
Okay.
And eczema is losing.
Okay.
In two ways. First, okay. The quality of the question. If I get a whole bunch of questions that are like, you know, how do I stop the itching?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not real specific questions. People are going to be disappointed with the end product if I don't get specific questions.
You don't think that's specific enough? I mean, you could, let's say there were 10 ways to reduce the, you know, the pain of itching from eczema. That would be quite a, I'd buy it if I had that problem.
Yeah, I got burned a little bit with an ebook that I wrote that I think is great information.
Yeah.
But the quality of the questions led me to create an ebook that was short.
Mm-hmm.
And for that market, people they weren't internet savvy. They were expecting a big book because I put a big picture of the book.
Uh-huh.
You know, using e-cover generator.
Yeah.
And people are writing back saying, "Where's my book? Is this it? This 52 pages, but you know,
mm-hmm.
it's good 52 pages. It's all you need."
Mm-hmm.
So I am nervous now of creating something where it doesn't have the appearance of being hefty, unless I'm selling to a market that's sophisticated about this. If I'm selling to internet marketers, I could sell them a postcard if it had a secret on it. You know, and people would pay for it. You told me I'm selling the keyword variant generator, which all it does is puts brackets and quotes around keywords that you can import them back into AdWords, and there's people who are very happy to pay $40 for an Excel spreadsheet.
Right, because as I said to you, yeah, it's just a spreadsheet, but if somebody is buying a lot of pay-per-click traffic, that little tool could save them several thousand dollars a month. So
yeah,
always try to price by the value it delivers, not what you think, you know, something should be sold for based on its medium. You know, in other words, if there's material on an audio cassette that could cure somebody's eczema legitimately, real, and I don't think such information exists, but if there were, that audio cassette could be worth $500 because of the value it delivers. And I just want to go off on a brief tangent on that since you brought it up. This is one of the fundamental bedrock keys to the info marketing business and why it is such a radically different business than just about anything else you go into. But you have to use your mind in a particular way to profit from the info marketing business. Most people get locked into thinking, well, okay, an audio cassette, well, that's worth about maybe $19.95 or $12.95, and a book, well, maybe that's worth about $20, and let's see, Nightingale Conant sells an 8-tape set for $69. I guess that's what I'll sell mine for. Do you see what I mean? It's called commodity pricing. And the one thing that you absolutely don't want to do when you are a small bootstrap entrepreneur or otherwise is get involved in commodity pricing. Commodity pricing is for companies like Walmart, you know, that have, you know, 15 million outlets and, you know, 80 gazillion employees, and they can afford to make a penny per transaction because it adds up to be a big number at the end of the year. But we can't. We need extremely high margins. And it's not a matter of overcharging people or gouging people or charging too much. It's the margin you need to be in business. And the problem with most other businesses is, you know, let's say I'm selling Sony Walkmans. Well, there's a known price for Sony Walkmans. I can't really charge much more than what that known price is. Or let's say I'm selling clock radios or desk lamps or, you know, you name it. There's a basic price that people are aware of or they can research very quickly, and you can't. There's no flexibility there. When it comes to info products, the price, if you're smart, if you're sensible, and you apply the principles that we teach you, the price should reflect the value that the info product delivers, not the medium that it's delivered on. This is very, 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 very important. It's the whole heart of what makes this business so different. So if you, I'll give you an example. I mean, we have a student from November, the November training, and it's only a few months later, who, November 2003, which was not even 6 months ago, who's already doing six figures in his internet business, is starting from basically from scratch. He was already a good businessman when he came to us, but he didn't know anything about internet marketing. But he got what we were saying, and in less than 4 months, he's developed a business into the six figures. He will probably break seven figures at the rate he's going by the end of this year, 2004. Now, what's that worth? I mean, what's it worth to get the keys to a business that can make you hundreds of thousands of dollars a year? Well, it's worth a lot. I mean, you can't go to Harvard and pay them to get that kind of information. So, you know, when you're packaging information, sell it by the value, not by the format, which is, you know, kind of a long story with a short ending, but sell it by the value, not the format. Okay, so Howie, let's go back to your example. You're experimenting with three different disease keywords, and you found one. You're kind of using a negative example, which is fine.
Right.
You're using the one that
it's my sacrificial lamb.
Right, and this is one of the sticky parts about this business, especially the info marketing business, is once somebody finds a niche, they don't really want to tell. I can't tell. In fact, I just got an email from another one of our students. I can give you his name, Dan Page. Very nice guy, very successful in less than a year of his first system training. He had an executive job, which he didn't really like, and based on what we taught him and his own initiative and then a lot of other things he did, he's now a business development consultant, making several hundred thousands of dollars a year, working out of his home very happily. But he won't tell – there's a lot of things that he's doing. He asked me, don't tell people how I'm doing this. Don't tell them, you know, the market I'm working in. And that's what you're going to find. This business is a lot like fishing. You know, if a fisherman finds a really good fishing hole, he may be willing to tell you about the pole he uses and the bait he uses and how he goes about finding a fishing hole, but he sure is not going to take you to that fishing hole and invite you to start taking his fish. So Howie's giving us the example that he found out didn't work, which is actually very valuable to learn how to screen examples out. But so are you saying that the other two showed more promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
They did. Okay. It's like Alex Mondozian talks a lot about, with his coaching clients, about the difference between coaching them and being a welfare state.
Interesting. Okay.
Right? You know, when I start doing things and giving you stuff, you know, then no one wants to do that. But, you know, as a beginner, I found, you know, I made lots of mistakes in approaching people inappropriately. But when I was approaching them appropriately, when I had some idea of my own initiative, and I was going to go, and it was going to be my idea, and they were going to help me with the tools and the roadmap to get there, but it was my destination. Mm-hmm. People were very forthcoming. But what people don't want to talk about, what I found the experts don't want to talk about, is their destinations.
Their personal destinations.
Yeah, the things that they're succeeding with. You know, you it's hard. You can't walk up to someone and say, well, just give me an idea.
Right. Or show me the combination to your bank vault.
Yeah.
You know, which is what finding a good niche and learning how to exploit it is the equivalent of having the combination to a bank safe. So obviously nobody wants to give their personal combination out. But what we're doing with this call and all our trainings really is showing you all the things that we do to get to that point. But obviously you gotta find that niche yourself. But how are you giving a lot of good information here on how to find the niche? So let's just recap really quickly. You decided, hey, I'll try info products that help people deal with a disease. You selected a few disease search words, one of them being eczema. You bought traffic. Well, first you did the Overture search. And do you have your internet service on right now, your internet connection?
Yeah.
Let's tell people, because sometimes we talk about this stuff as if everybody knows it, and that's the purpose of this call, is to make sure that we're very detailed. I already have this programmed into my homepage, so I don't even know how I get to it anymore. But how would we get to the Overture search tool?
Okay.
We'd go to Overture if we're going straight from the homepage. Do we even know how to do that?
Yeah, what I do, actually, and I showed this to someone a couple weekends ago, and they were floored by it. And to me, it was common knowledge that you could do it, but I'll share it anyway. I use Explorer with Windows, and there's something called the Links Bar, where you can just take things from your favorites. You can drop down to your favorites menu, web pages that you've saved, and then just pop them right into your links bar. So I have my shopping cart login, the term suggestion tool, the bid tool, the traffic statistics for a couple of my sites, audio generator, ask, AdWords, a couple other things right there. So I don't have to go type anything in, and I don't have to pop it. I don't like when the term suggestion tool pops up in a little window.
Right. Yeah, that's what I do too. I kind of have a dashboard with all these things on. Just if I need to research a domain name, I have a button for that. But let's show people how to get to the Overture search tool if they're starting from scratch.
Yeah. So if you type in, I'll try it here. If you type in inventory.overture.com.
Okay. So let's do that again, just so everybody hears it.
www.
Oh no, it's just straight.
Either http://, or just straight inventory.overture.com.
Inventory.overture.com.
And that should take you right to that page. And then it gives you a whole bunch of other things, /D/search inventory/suggestion.
Great.
Put
now
that in your favorites.
Now, for people who are online, what will happen is when you type that in, a page comes up, and it says search term suggestion tool. Okay? And for those of you that aren't online, there's a little window, and it says get suggestions for. And so we would type in the keyword we're curious about. Like I'm going to type in, because it's one of my favorite examples, I'm going to type in car insurance. And I'm going to press the little blue button. And let's see what happens. It's a big one. 721,256 inquiries about the keyword car insurance. So now we know, hey, there's a lot of people online looking under the term car insurance. Then what Howie does is buy the term that he's researching from Google AdWords, and we had a whole bunch of material about that before the seminar and during the seminar. And if you need to know how to get to that that basic material again, just remind me. I'll send it to you. And you buy the traffic, you send the traffic to the page, and you ask the people questions. And Howie has a news screen, and I think Frank kind of alluded to this too. If the questions are dumb and not very deep and foolish, that's a hint that maybe it's not worth creating an info product for these folks. Frank gave some examples from the course, if you remember. He wanted to do a product on motocross, whatever that crazy thing is, with motorcycles. And by the nature of the questions he was getting, he realized that the people interested in this were either 12 years old or had the mental age of a 12-year-old. And he realized, hey, no point in creating a $29 ebook for these folks because they're not going to buy it. All right, so Howie, where are we in your process?
Well, then I start looking at the ask campaign every 2 or 3 days. First, I check it, on the first day, I check every couple hours. Then I keep checking in the Google AdWords account management tools, because I set a budget, but I really want to see what's happening. I'm not split testing ads yet. I kind of want to see what happens. I'm assuming that the ad I have right now is not very good compared to what I could have.
Right.
So I want all my numbers to be very conservative, mm-hmm. so I don't go ahead with something. So I have a bad ad that leads to this request for a question. Then I start looking at the questions, and I see, all right, so it's taken me a week. How many questions have I gotten? Because if it's slow, and if the questions don't lend themselves, I don't want to write it myself. I want to get someone else to put together the basics, and then I will I'll finish it up. I like things to have my touch on them, or I'll find an expert and interview them. But if I don't have good questions, it's too hard for me to create a book.
Mm-hmm.
If you know something and someone asks you questions, it's really easy to talk about it. But if we didn't have any questions, there was no one online, and we were just going to talk about what beginners should do, it'd be kind of hard to have this conversation right now.
Right. It's kind of
questions make it easy.
It's kind of the blank page phenomenon. It's really hard for most people to sit down and face a blank page on a piece of paper. It's much easier if somebody asks them a question. Okay.
So I'm looking, and I see I've gotten 36 questions on one of them and 17 on eczema in
mm-hmm.
the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's twice as much interest. The questions are better for this other one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're much more specific. So there's like 36 different questions, which will mean a much richer product.
Great. So where I was focusing on sort of the mechanics of setting up the sales system, you know, how do you get a page up? How do you get an autoresponder working? How do you capture email addresses? You know, how do you take an order? How do you process the money? You're focusing on the other side of the equation, which is how do you figure out what's worth doing, what's worth pursuing? But you said something really important that I want to highlight and flag because it's really important. You said you just put up a bad website at first. You didn't get all obsessed about having the absolute perfect website up because you knew that you were going to be able to improve the website over time. And a friend of mine once said something I think is very profound. He says, you know, your first version of the website is going to be guaranteed your worst version. So don't worry about it because this is a medium that's all about improvement over time. It's not a medium that's about getting it right the first time. You know, when you write a book or you make a movie or you record a record, music, you know, CD, you got to get it right the first time. You can't go back and say, well, I'm going to fix that note that I missed and I'm going to make that boring character more interesting. You know, it's too late. The book's done. But the Internet's not that kind of a medium. The Internet is a medium that lets you and, in fact, wants you to start with something, just throw anything up there, and then monitor it and improve it over time. Well, great. You know, it's amazing how much we have to talk about. So those are two different approaches. Cindy, how about you? Now, I've given my idea of what the basics would be and how he's given his. How about you? What do you consider sort of the foundation, the fundamental things that people need to know to get started? And do you have any particular opinion on where they should begin?
Well, we started off by looking for the five main things you would do after you left the seminar, for example.
Okay.
And I put what you both said into categories. The first one I called technical stuff for getting your message out, and then technical stuff for making sure there's a market for your message. And I think sometimes it's a question of the chicken or the egg and which comes first. Do you have to have a product first, or do you have to know how to market it first?
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately you need both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me, if I had taken 6 or 8 hours and just simply spent that time walking through the steps for each one of these things we've listed here so that I knew how to register a domain name, I could have just gone to 000domains.com and walked through the process.
Mm-hmm.
If I had signed up for an autoresponder, there's a couple that will let you have autoresponders free, and I had just set up an autoresponder message and sent it to myself just to see how it worked or created an opt-in box, and then hopped on to Google or hopped on to Overture and used a search term suggestion tool with some words that I was interested in, looked at the bid pricing tool, see what people were paying for it, went over to Google, checked out websites that were already selling that type of a product. I think if you do that and you just spend those few hours understanding how simple all these processes are,
mm-hmm.
that once you've done it once, like you said already, it's so much easier to do. And then you're really ready to move forward and really focus on, okay, now that I know that I can do all these things, how am I going to use it? What's my product? What am I going to do online? And then you put it together that way.
Excellent. Oh, that's really good. Because really what, you know, you could take a seminar on how to register a domain name, or you could just spend $9 and register a domain name. And there's your seminar. And now once you've done it once, and now you own, and not only that, you own a domain name. And once you've done it once, now you realize how to do it. Same thing with setting up an autoresponder and all those other things. Let me throw out an idea that I have. I was thinking, well, what if I was starting from absolute scratch, now, which is really hard for me to imagine because I've been doing this for 11 years. But what if I'm given amnesia? Oh, God, what a horrible thought. But anyway, imagine having to learn this stuff all over again after learning it once. But imagine I have amnesia, I've forgotten everything, and I'm starting from scratch. What would I do? Here's something I was thinking about the other day, and I'd love your two opinions on this. I would figure out the market that I wanted to be in. And again, most important is I wouldn't get hung up over it. In other words, if I liked baseball cards, my first project would be a baseball card project. All right? If I liked sewing, my first project would be a sewing. You know what I mean? I would not I just wouldn't worry about it. I would just say, well, I know the first product probably will not make a lot of money. Maybe it won't even make any money. But it will be a project. It will get me going. I will learn how to use the tools. And once I learn how to use the tools, then I'm going to be able to do anything. I want to go off on one really quick tangent, too. You have to realize that 99.9% of all business people, and these are people with existing businesses making money today, don't know anything about the stuff we're talking about right now. They don't have the first clue. So even if you never start your own product, and you never your own project, and you never do a product that ever makes a lot of money, there's tremendous opportunity working with, partnering with, joint venturing with existing companies that need to market on the internet and don't know how. That's a whole other issue that we can get into at another time. But I want to let you know that there's many, many reasons to learn this stuff, not just the narrow thing that we're focusing on now, which is creating your own product and selling it. I made a great deal of money in the 90s just simply working with companies that were already selling lots and lots of stuff but didn't have a clue how to do it on the internet. But anyway, if I were starting from scratch, I would just pick something that I had a natural interest in, and I wouldn't even worry about creating a product. I would worry about creating a list. And I would create a list by creating some kind of a newsletter offer, a free newsletter offer. It's sort of, nothing complicated about this, nothing new about it. And I would drive people to the site by writing articles for e-zines, maybe taking advantage of some really low-cost pay-per-click stuff, posting in discussion boards, anything I could do. And I would get people to come to a page. I would get them to sign up for my newsletter. I would learn how autoresponders work and put in an autoresponder sequence of pre-programmed articles. And I would create a following in whatever topic I decided to take my first whack at. And I'd figure out what my point of view is and what my special value would be to that audience. And I would serve those people by sending them emails. And then I would research affiliate programs, and I would find appropriate affiliate offers for that list. And so when my emails went out, instead of just being, hey, here's some great information, it would be, hey, here's some great information. By the way, I just discovered this really interesting service or this really interesting product that you might be interested in too. Here's why. Why don't you go check it out? I'd give the link. Okay. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, this is not going to get you rich. You will probably not be able to make a living doing this. However, there are some exceptions. I just ran across a woman who is unbelievably industrious, who's used this method basically to create $500,000 a year income. But she did it the hard way. Believe me, there's easier ways to make money on the internet than she has. But in general, this thing that I'm describing, this method that I'm describing, will not make you rich, but it will get you going. I find a lot of people wait a long time to get going because they don't have the product and they don't know what product to develop. It's not about the product, really. It's about the following. And you can start creating a following today. You just have to decide what market do I want to go into, what point of view do I want to take, and just go out there, declare yourself that person, that expert, that commentator, and start gathering a flock. And how do you gather a flock? You point them to a page that has an offer for a newsletter, and you send out regular or irregular messages to those people. That's another way to get going. Howie, Cindy, what do you think about that as an approach for a beginner?
I think that's a great way to go, Ken, because it kind of goes back to learning the basics and just feeling comfortable with the basics. And really everything that we've talked about here, to me, is deceptively simple. It may sound complicated and it may sound like there's a lot to do to get it done, but once you've done it, it's very, very easy to do. And a lot of it in marketing is repetition. You know, if you've got people coming into a page, you've got an opt-in box set up, they're opting into an autoresponder, you set up an autoresponder sequence, and then you want to move either to a new market or to a new area, you go through the same process again, and you just set it up, and you start running people through the same system.
Yeah, there's really only a handful of tools that we ever use, whether we're making a dollar a day or $10,000 a day. It's not like to make more money, you have to now learn, like, this, you know, exponentially more complicated set of technology. You can if you want to, but you don't need to. Hey, we're at the hour point. I think I'd like to keep going. Cindy, can you go on for a little longer?
Yep, I'm fine.
Howie, how about you?
Yep, I'm good.
Great. But for people that tuned in just for the hour and have other things to do, I want to tell you about two things. Number one, I've done a lot of searching for material courses, home study courses that are appropriate for beginners, that are specifically well done to get the beginner going. And that's why I have Howie and Cindy on this call. Howie's done a great course on basic sales and marketing. And as I said at the beginning of this call, you've got to know this is a sales and marketing business. So if you don't have any sales or marketing experience, you got to get it somehow. Either by going out and selling stuff door to door or whatever, it's just a requirement. So Howie has a great course called Leads into Gold, and basically it's the whole process of generating leads and then converting those leads, which is the foundations of all marketing, internet marketing and otherwise. And then Cindy's created a really excellent course on the mechanics of internet marketing, and it's got a complicated name and I keep forgetting it. What's the name of your course?
It's Online Marketing Secrets Uncovered.
Okay, it's not that complicated. I'm just not so swift. But anyway, that's Cindy's product. And it's neat because it takes you through all the basic mechanics. What is an autoresponder? What is an opt-in? What do you do after somebody opts in? All these sort of fundamental questions that we kind of breathe and inhale in this business, but if you're a beginner, you don't know what the heck we're talking about. So we've got both of those available at the following website. It's thesystemseminar.com/smart-beginners, smart-beginners. So it's thesystemseminar.com/smart-beginners. And you can go there and find out more about those. And if you feel you need help in one or both of those areas, give these courses really my highest endorsement. I think they're excellent. They'll be a big boost to you. The second thing I want to offer is if you're ready, and only if you're ready, you've got a sales letter ready to go, but you're being held back because you don't know how to get a website up, you don't know who to use for hosting, these kind of things. Another system grad, Tom Kostner from the Netherlands, who's gone to every system training that we've ever offered since the beginning, which is really remarkable. He is a very professional, very experienced computer guy who provides computer services to corporations. And he's creating with me a simple service for people that want to get started with internet marketing. They've got the sales letter, they've got the product, they've got the market, they just don't know how to get the web stuff together. And I sympathize with those people. I have a full-time web person that works for me, so it's really easy for me. I just say, hey, put up a website. But I know not everybody has that luxury. So anyway, what we're doing with this is we're going to do like a test run of this service, and we're making it available at much, much, much less now than it's going to cost when it's perfected. In fact, ironically, the first couple of customers are probably going to get 10 times the customer service that other people are going to get, but other people are going to pay 10 times as much for it because it'll be more automated. But anyway, if you're interested in that, if you're ready to put up a website and you just need, hey, how the heck do I do it and who do I use and help, write me, kenmc@amacord.com, amacord.com, and I'll send you off to Tom, and it's the first five people. We don't want a million people on this. So if you hear this on tape, don't even write because it's going to be gone. But if you're interested in that, Tom can help. it'll be a lot easier and faster, and even for the beginners doing this, cheaper than using a web designer. So anyway, that's our two offers for you. So if you just tuned in for the hour, thanks for tuning in, and we will do another one of these, hopefully on a monthly basis, maybe even more regularly. I think this would be a great thing to do on a maybe even a weekly basis, because this, you know, it's a shame for people to waste time and energy learning the basics when they can just get that stuff learned and move on. Let me open up the line and let's take some more questions. More questions? Anybody?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. This is Lynn Adelstein from Altadena, California.
Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Ken. I have a question. What is generally the point that you use to determine whether a keyword is getting enough searches or enough hits to make it a viable topic? I mean, is like 1,000 good? Is it 2,000 good?
This is a very good question, and Howie and Cindy, I'm going to field it, and if you'd like to jump in, please do. Here's the key. If you're looking for a business that runs entirely off Internet searches, okay, in other words, there's no other easy lead mechanism available, then you really want to see 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000, you know, the more the merrier, because that's going to be your only lead source. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, if that's what you want to do. Now, I want to give you sort of an amazing example that I just was researching today in preparation for our System Club call Saturday. I have our guest next, this coming up Saturday, is Elsa Meldridge, who owns a lot of different businesses. Just, you know, he's literally produced over 10,000 educational events over the last 20 plus years, had over 1 million customers. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. One of his businesses that he's had for over 20 years is a company that teaches people how to prepare for the postal exam. And believe it or not, 500,000 people every year take that exam. And if you just do the math, even if he's reaching only a tiny fraction of those people with his home study course, he is making a lot of money on that, and indeed he is. But if you go to the search suggestion tools and you type in various variations of post office exam, postal exam, you just don't get a lot of searches. Why that is, I don't really know, but that's the way it is. So sometimes you'll find a business that's actually huge, has a huge prospect base, but it's not reflected in Internet search activity. However, if you do what Howie and Cindy and I were talking about earlier in the call, which is don't just research the keyword traffic, but actually go to the keyword, go to the search results and actually look at all the websites that are coming up under that keyword, you may discover that it's actually a very active, lively, healthy business indeed, and you can make your money by creating affiliate opportunities for those successful high-traffic websites. In other words, people are getting to the website by some means other than searching. Just to summarize this, if you want to live just entirely off of search engine results, pay-per-click and otherwise, you're going to want to see, you know, 10,000, somewhere in that vicinity to make it worth your while. But realize sometimes a search engine result will be low, but the market will actually be quite large. You just have to find other ways of harvesting that market. Hope that answers your question.
That does. I have one other kind of related question. Can I ask that?
Sure.
Okay. Let's say, for example, you have a term that has, you know, 10,000 hits within the last 24 hours, but there are 10,000 competing websites.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one where I'd have to go around and look at the different sites and see what they've got up?
Absolutely. This is really key, and we can't emphasize this enough. Part of your preparation for entering a market, again, I'm saying all this because not to give you a million things to do before you get started. And in fact, I mean, you could ignore this advice. Just throw something up there and see what happens. And I think that, no, I'm serious, that might even be more valuable than doing everything right the first time, honestly.
I understand.
However, as you get better at this and want to fine-tune your skills, you're going to find that you're going to want to look at every possible website you can find in the market that you're thinking of entering, or in the market you're already in. Some of you may already be in a business, okay? By all means, and this is really kind of undramatic, unglamorous, unsexy work, but you just sort of plant your butt in the chair and spend the hours it takes, right, Howie and Cindy? I mean, it takes a lot of time to do what we would call competitive research. The nice thing about it, though, is, and I want to use my fixing the road analogy, to me, developing new products is just like patching holes in the highway. What is a highway? Well, that's the market. You know, lots of people are traveling back and forth on this highway. You know, you're not out in the woods trying to create a product. You're actually on the road where lots of people are. The second thing is, what's the hole? Well, the hole is that part of the thing that prospects want that's not being provided on that highway. So all you have to do is just walk along the road and see where prospects or cars are hitting a hole. And, you know, that big noise cars make when they hit a hole and their axle gets all screwed up. And then you say, well, there's the hole in the road. That's the part, that's the thing that people in this market want that they're not being provided. Maybe they want the thing faster. Maybe they want the thing bigger. Maybe they want it smaller. Maybe they want it cheaper. Maybe they want it more elaborate and they're willing to pay more. Maybe it's only available in an ebook, and they'll pay a lot more if it's available in a tape set. In other words, it really is, if you get to know a market, and I've never found this not to be true, I've always found this to be the case 100% of the time, if you take the time to really research a market and see who are the players, who's selling stuff, what are they selling, what are their greatest hits, what are the products that used to be great hits that have fallen out of favor, what are the price points, what are the offers, if you get all that stuff under your belt, product ideas just come right out of the woodwork at you. Because you'll see, oh, God, why aren't they offering a free follow-up program? Or why are they putting it only on audio cassette and not on immediate download? Or why are they just doing a basic course? Why don't they have an advanced course? I mean, look at the system. How many guys are selling internet marketing stuff? 10 million? I mean, it's a ridiculous number of people. And yet I won't say came out of nowhere, but I came out of, like, you know, retirement, basically, to do an internet seminar. And I immediately rose to the top. How did that happen? Well, it happened for two reasons. Number one, I knew the market inside and out. I knew what was missing.